Okay, I'm going to leave it there, Ethan. My mic is jumping around on me, so I'm going to leave it there. That seems to be where it wants to go today, so we'll live with that. Yeah, sorry about that little distraction. So I'm excited today to start something new. If you're new to us or fairly recent, perfect timing. We're going to dive into something today that we've been talking about a little bit. We're beginning to unpack what we've been talking about, these four essential qualities of a disciple of Jesus Christ, following, discerning, showing mercy, and then doing all these things in community. This is our definition of a wholehearted follower of Christ. And I want to take a few minutes this morning to explain where things are going, because we're going to be doing this over a number of months together. It'll take us a while to get through this series. And by the time you take the summer break in there, and we've got some missionaries coming in May, and we've got a fishing retreat and a camping retreat, so we've got a lot going on. So it's going to take us into November by the time we're done. But I want you to see the big picture. I know that's helpful for me, and I hope it'll be helpful for you. But as you can see, with our four banners, we have these four essential ingredients, but as a single word, they could mean almost anything. And so we need to unpack these together. For example, for our first banner this morning, which is following, I want to introduce some meaningful content that will actually help develop a really practical understanding. What does following actually mean? And so following Jesus will mean being with Jesus, and that's talking about the relational aspect of our relationship with Christ, actually having an intimate relationship, a friendship we're going to talk about this morning, so the nature of relationship. The second one is being like Jesus, and this is about our spiritual formation. We are actually to grow up into Christ, and so there's a being like Jesus that's part of being a follower. And then the third part, probably the one we're most familiar with, is doing the things that Jesus did. This is the missional aspect of our relationship. He commanded us to go and make disciples. We call that the Great Commission, co, as in we're doing it with Jesus. So we've got with Jesus, like Jesus, and do the things that Jesus did. And our desire, of course, is not just to talk about these things. The desire is that we would actually grow in competency in all of these things. And so to do that, we actually have to have a plan. And it's a plan that invites your active participation in each one of these areas. And so let me kind of outline what the plan will be for each of these. First, in a few moments, I'm going to introduce the main concept each week. So I'll talk for a few minutes about the main concept of what it means to be with Jesus. We'll frame that out so we have some context. Step two is to actually move from learning to equipping. So how do we spend time with Jesus? What is that like? And the objective is, of course, that we grow in a competency, in this case, grow in a relationship. And if we have some time this morning, we'll spend a few minutes breaking into groups and doing that. We'll see how the time goes. Third is, each week I'll provide some additional resources so that you can actually pursue these things on your own, or perhaps in your small group. I think we all understand that 30 minutes together on Sunday morning does not make a follower of Christ. This is just enough to get you started, perhaps to introduce you to a path. But to walk on the path means that we all need to take initiative. So as you leave today, we will give you a bookmark, and it simply says following on here. And over the course of the next number of months, you'll get four different bookmarks. So this one has following on it. On the back side of it is a QR code and also a web address if you're not good with QR codes. And it'll take you to a place on our website that has some additional resources. And in those additional resources, there will be, number one, again, a summary. What's the key concept that we're talking about when we're talking about being with Jesus? Second, there will be some scriptures in there for you to review, some of the same scriptures I'm going to talk about this morning. Number three, there are on there three different things that you can do, exercises, application points, if you want to call it that, that will take you onto that path of being with Jesus and thinking about that. And then the fourth thing that's going to be on there is a reading list of some what I consider really relevant and good material that helps us with this particular topic. For example, on the topic of being with Jesus, one of the books that's on there is the book With. Makes sense? By Sky Jathani. It's a book that we've talked about before. And so there will be some other books on there as well. So each week you'll have web content on there. There will be a PDF version of the web content so that you can download it and use it with a small group. And finally, what we're going to do is we're going to post this teaching on that website so you can go back and review, and you have all the material together in the same place. So each week we will develop this combination of resources to have all of it available to you, some teaching, some equipping, and some practical tools for you that you can use at home. Before we actually dive into the content, I want to make a couple of content comments about the content as well to introduce us. First of all, I want to make it clear that I am not suggesting, as I teach some of these things that are very basic, that you don't already understand them. That's not my intention. I think I've come to appreciate in our church that we actually do have a desire to be wholehearted followers of Christ. That desire is authentic, it's real, and so much of this might be review for you. But what I want you to do is to think of it as foundational to what we're becoming. So not just that it's information that you already have, but that as you think about it, you go, okay, this is one of the foundational pieces that we are building our definition of a follower of Christ on, and that we would embrace these together. So that's the first thing. The second thing, again, as I'm teaching these things, I am not suggesting that I am somehow proficient in all of these things. I am being stretched. As I have been charting out all the material right through November already, it's becoming very clear to me that I need to do some self-evaluation. The question that I was asking myself this week was, am I asking you to do something that I'm not doing myself already? And am I asking you to do something that would be challenging for me? And if so, am I willing to embrace the challenge? And so the idea is that we do this journey together, and that together we develop this comprehensive picture of what a disciple is, and then we'd walk into that. Final thing before we jump into content is that I will be leaning on a number of really good resources. For example, the three-point outline that's on the screen behind me is not mine. I didn't come up with that. One of my favorite authors in church leadership, his name is Jeff Vanderstelt. He lives and serves out of the Tacoma area, just south of Seattle. And he just recently released a short book that's called 180, A Return to Disciple Making. And this is a very short, very accessible book that was actually written as a resource that would be given out to every attendant at an exponential conference that just took place in March. So literally a month ago, this book was given out to all the attendants of the exponential conference. And so in this book, he talks about three aspects of following Jesus: the relational, being with Jesus; the transformational, being like Jesus; and the commissional, doing the things that Jesus did. And I really liked that outline as I read it. And so as I was reading this book, I pulled Nick together. We went in the boardroom to do some brainstorming, and I started sharing with him the outline that I thought would be helpful for us. And he told me at the same time that I was reading Vanderstelt's book, he was reading another book by John Mark Comer, also brand new book, just released in 2024, and it has this title, Practicing the Way: Be with Jesus, Become Like Jesus, Do as Jesus Did. Interesting. Now, I don't know which two of these writers came up with this outline first. My point is this: it wasn't me, okay? This isn't my material. At least the outline isn't mine. A lot of the content is unique to us. But the outline, I was really intrigued to think about the fact that two of my favorite authors chose the same language at virtually the same time. And I was also really encouraged to observe that while I was preparing to use this language for the church out of Vanderstelt's book, Nick was preparing to use this outline out of Comer's book with the youth ministry. And so, without our planning it, this morning, as I'm talking about being with Jesus, this week on Wednesday with the youth, Nick is teaching about being with Jesus. And so I see something here about God being in the middle of this, and that the content, it's from the Lord, it's from other authors, but he's in the middle of this. And so with that, let's dive in this morning to the first content about being followers of Jesus, which again, being with Jesus. And I want to begin by taking you to something that Jesus said in John 15, 15. He's talking to his disciples. He said, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." And the thing that really struck me out of this verse in a new way was that Jesus is intentionally changing the nature of his relationship with his disciples. He's changing the nature of the relationship from a master-servant relationship to a friendship. And I think that this is something that all of us could think about and ask ourselves, what is the nature of my relationship with Jesus? Is it a master-servant relationship, or is it a friendship? Because the way we are with people, the way we spend time with people, is based on our understanding of the nature of the relationship. Let me give you an example. A few years ago, we had a carpet layer come in to install some carpet in our basement. And I spent about half the day with the carpet layer. Makes sense. On the one hand, I wanted to be helpful if he needed help. It was just one guy down there throwing around these rolls of carpet, so I wanted to help. But as you know, as a homeowner, you also want to be there, not to hover, but just to be present and to make sure everything's okay. And so I understood that carpet layers, part of their job is to cut corners, but I didn't want him cutting corners while he was cutting corners, if that makes sense. And so I was with him, but I think we all understand that my relationship with him was all about the job. It was all about work that needed to be done. And for some people, they look at their relationship with Jesus this way, that it's all about the mission. Jesus is our Lord, and we are his servants. And the relationship is primarily about salvation, both for ourselves and for others. And so Jesus has done something wonderful for us, and now we are recommending that same wonderful gift to other people. And so what do? We clean up our lives, in a sense. We learn to be more like Jesus, and we try to serve the Lord. And this is all honorable, and it's good. In fact, I think that when we first come to know Jesus, this is how it is. We have a deep appreciation for his grace, his forgiveness to us. We're actually humbled that he has called us to follow him, and in response, we want to show our appreciation by being faithful servants. I also think that that's how the disciples entered into a relationship with Jesus. Jesus was becoming a public figure, well known as a teacher, and people had a curiosity, a certain level of appreciation for who Jesus was. And then the disciples were honored. They were humbled that he would call them, of all people, to be his followers. And so they wanted to honor that invitation by actually being faithful servants. That's how all of us begin our relationship with Jesus. But there comes a point where Jesus says to us, as he said to the disciples, "I don't just want to be your master. I want to be your friend. I don't want you to serve me just because I did something for you. I want to be with you simply because I love being with you. And I want you to be with me." And this becomes one of those DTR moments in a relationship, defining the relationship. You know what that's like. You've been there. Our relationship starts off on one level, but then the relationship grows and it gets to this level where you need to become vulnerable, someone does, and take the risk. And someone needs to say out loud what maybe both of you are thinking, but that we want to change the nature of the relationship. That I want more out of this relationship that I have with you. And so Jesus wants more. And he says to the disciples, I don't want to just be co-workers anymore. I want us to be friends. I want you to understand how much I love you. I want you to understand that this relationship to me is really important. And so I've been thinking about what would have changed at that moment. What changes in our relationship with Jesus when we make this shift from Jesus being our master, our Lord, to actually being our friend? And there were a couple of things that immediately came to mind for me. The first thing is that the relationship is no longer defined by the job, by the mission. We may have come to know Jesus, we may have come to know each other by working together. We're on the same mission together. We're participating in his work. But now the relationship has grown beyond the mission. The mission still exists, and we still want to do the work, but now you do the work differently. Because now you're working together as someone that really cares about the other person just as they really care about you. And so the relationship is no longer defined by the mission because the relationship has become more important than the mission. And that's what happens when you become friends together. The relationship becomes more important than the mission. The second thing that changes is this, that the relationship is no longer on the clock. The relationship goes beyond the time spent together at work. Friends spend leisure time together. We eat meals together. We may even go on vacation together. And Jesus is inviting you into the kind of relationship where you actually look forward to spending time together simply because you enjoy their presence. That's what friendship is. That's what Jesus is saying to you. I have called you friend. I consider you my friend. I want to take you back to John chapter 15. This is the passage that's probably best known where Jesus talks about the vine and the branches, and Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, and you know, it's all about the vine, it's all about the branches. But it's also the same passage where Jesus says, I want to call you my friend. And these two themes actually run together in a really significant way. And in the first part of the chapter, the first 9 verses, or the first 8 verses, the relationship is all about being productive. We need to produce fruit. We have to abide in the vine. And so I'm going to read just a couple of these verses, verse 4 to 6, but I want you to listen specifically for this, that abiding is all about the fruit. Okay, listen to this. Abiding is all about the fruit. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. And so in these first 8 verses of this chapter, abiding is all about producing fruit. And so we read this, you may have done this, I've certainly done this, and I go, boy, I need to stick close to Jesus because I want to abide, I want to produce the fruit. I look at the results of what happens if I'm not fruitful, that, you know, boy, the branch withers and thrown in the fire, and I don't want that to happen. So I need to stick close to Jesus, and I need to obey Jesus, and I want to produce fruit. And you know what? That's an honorable desire, isn't it? It is honorable that we desire to stick with Jesus so that we can produce the fruit that he wants us to produce. It's an honorable response for what Jesus has done for us. In fact, I would say that is how good servants behave. They want to be productive. They want to be diligent. They want to honor their relationship with the master. That's verse 1 to 8. In the second half of the chapter, starting at verse 9, you'll see that abiding is no longer about the fruit. Now abiding becomes about the relationship with Jesus. Listen to this, starting at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so there's a change here. That for servants, abiding is all about the fruit. But for friends, abiding is all about the relationship. It's about the friendship. And so he says in verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. And so in the beginning of our relationship with Jesus, when we first come to know Jesus, we probably will abide as servants whose focus is on bearing fruit. But the relationship changes. And it comes a moment where Jesus says, I no longer call you my servant. And now he's inviting us to abide as friends, where the focus of abiding is on the relationship. Now, the great thing here is that when you become friends with Jesus, you're abiding in relationship, it's not that we stop producing fruit. In fact, what happens is this is when the fruit really begins to take shape, because friendship was the goal all along. Friendship is what it means to abide in Jesus. It's just that it takes us a while to learn this. And so it is not wrong that we would consider ourselves servants of Jesus. That's not wrong. It's honorable. But he doesn't want us only to be servants of him. Jesus is clearly inviting us to be more than servants. He has called you friend. Are you comfortable with that? Are you comfortable with Jesus talking about you as a friend? That he invites you to be with him outside of work, outside of church hours on Sunday morning. Jesus wants to have breakfast with you tomorrow morning. You know, when we sit down, we have breakfast, we'll often pause and recognize that God, Jesus, he's our provider, and so we stop and we give thanks. We say grace. So we give thanks for the meal, but then we leave the provider in the kitchen. He provided it, but I'm eating by myself. And Jesus is saying, I don't want to be left in the kitchen anymore. I don't want to just be the provider. I actually want to sit with you and enjoy your cup of coffee with you and eat with you. How many pictures of Scripture are about Jesus providing a table for us and joining at him? He wants to be with you. He wants to go to work with you after you have breakfast together. He wants to go to the gym with you after work. And he wants to watch Netflix with you in the evening. Although he may have something to say about what you're watching on Netflix. But I want us to think about this. Which of these describes your relationship with Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior? I hope so. Is he also your friend? two different relationships, and they're both in John chapter 15. Think about the moment that you first became a Christian. Jesus became your Savior and your Lord. Savior means he saved you from your sins. Lord means that he is now the master of your life. And I think for most of us, we could probably identify a moment or a stage of our life where that became true for us. And you know what? That never stops. He will always be our Savior, and he will always be our Lord. We start that way. It doesn't end that way, but Jesus wants to go deeper. Can you think of a second moment in your life where you came to the understanding that Jesus has also invited you to be a friend? You've been in relationship, perhaps for a number of years, but now you have this defining the relationship moment. And Jesus invites you into something deeper, something more intimate, where he actually wants to be with you as a friend. You know, it took me decades of being a Christian before I figured this out. It literally took me decades of being a servant and of being a pastor before I came to grasp what Jesus wanted from me all along. And that is to be his friend. And I'm still learning to separate my work relationship with Jesus from my friend relationship with Jesus. The work relationship still exists. I'm still his servant. I'm still accountable. But he's also invited me into a friendship, and it's taking me years, decades, to learn that. And I think that this is something that perhaps we don't teach often enough, that we talk about a personal relationship with Jesus, but we typically mean that we're no longer enemies, right? When we're living in sin, we're enemies with God, but he has restored a relationship. That's wonderful. Now we're his servants. But then Jesus says, no, I want to go deeper. I want the kind of relationship with you where we're spending our entire day together. I wonder if you have thought about this before. I wonder if you might be so agreeable as to break into just some little discussion circles, just for a few moments together, and just answer these two questions. The first one, does this make sense to you? Is this new to you? Is this a new thought for you? How do you process just this as information? And then second, if you're willing to share your actual experience of this, has there come a moment in your life where you go, I can remember when my relationship with Jesus changed from Lord and Savior to actually being friend? Because, you know, those are really significant moments, are they, in our relationships? Those are the moments where we go, we agreed to go deeper. We agreed to a new level of intimacy and of trust. It could be the moment where you say, hey, we're going to get engaged together. It could be the moment where you say, well, we were friends, but now we're going to date together. Or it could be the kind of friendship where you go, yeah, we're casual friends, but now we're going to do vacations together. Those are significant moments. Can you remember a significant moment in your relationship with Jesus? And perhaps today would be that moment where you go, I never understood this before. So, just a couple of minutes in small groups, talk about, first of all, is this new to you? Does it make sense? And then second, have you experienced this? Let's take about 7 minutes to do this in small groups together. It's great to hear stories. I hope you're enjoying the stories, the testimonies of someone else. Let me just remind you as you leave today to pick up one of these follower bookmarks, and it'll lead you to some resources. I want to finish just by telling you one of my favorite stories of Jesus as my friend. While I was in my last position, working with international missions, I used to fly a lot, different parts of the world. And I always had, everywhere that I flew, there was a country leader that was leading the work in that country. So I always had someone who would pick me up at the airport and take care of me, and it was great because I I do not like traveling internationally. I get scared. I get nervous. I don't like this. Well, I made a commitment to fly to Russia twice a year for 3 years. And I was going to teach in a seminary, a leadership class there, but we didn't know anybody there. So I was getting ready to fly to Eastern Russia for the first time, and I was really nervous about going. I did not want to do this trip. And we were living in Sacramento, so my first flight was Sacramento to Los Angeles, and I remember sitting in the lounge in Los Angeles, and I was just, I just wanted to cancel the trip and go home. You know when you're lonely, you just want to be with your best friend, your spouse? I just wanted to go home and be with Melissa. And I said, Jesus, like, this is not good. I am not going to do well on this trip if you don't, you know, if you're not going to come with me. And my experience of Jesus was so tangible that when I got up to leave, I opened the door to leave, and I kind of stood to the side, kind of like the way I would if Melissa was with me. And it was just this little mind trick that Jesus played on me to go, I'm right with you. And then when it came to giving my boarding pass in, I was actually looking for a moment for the boarding pass for Jesus, because I knew that someone was, it was so tangible and so real. It was fantastic. The next flight was to Hong Kong. And then I had like a, you know, a layover and a connection in Hong Kong. Then I go down to the gate and I'm going, okay, this last flight I'm really not looking forward to, because I have to get off in Russia where I don't know anybody. Hopefully someone is going to have a sign there with my name on it. But I get on the plane and I'm going, you know, again, just feeling lonely. And so I'm on this seat. There's a middle seat that's empty, and a gentleman comes and sits beside me, and he is reading a book called Leadershift. Leadershift is written by, now I'm going to forget his name. Is anybody? Washington Redskins quarterback. What's his name? It's his dad. His dad wrote this book. Anyways, I can't remember his name, but this was a guy that we would bring in for leadership training events. So I knew the author, and so I said, are you enjoying the book? He goes, yeah, I really like his writings. I said, yeah, great. I've got to know him a little bit, and he's a great resource. He says, well, what are you doing? Why are you going to Russia? I go, well, I'm going there to teach a leadership course. What are you doing? Well, I'm going there to teach a leadership course. Oh, really? So he's going to a different region, and he says, so where's home for you? I said, well, I'm Canadian, but I'm living in Sacramento right now. I said, where's home for you? Well, I live in Australia. And I go, Australia? I said, I only know one person in Australia. A friend of mine, one of my good friends, growing up, we had a group of four or five of us that would hang out together. By the way, Pastor Terry also knows this guy. He was with this small circle of friends. I said, he went to Australia, you know, one of those classic, he went there for a year, he's going to come back, but he met a girl. So he never came back. In fact, he got involved, deeply cared about ministry, and he came, became involved with Campus Crusade. And then he became the national director for Campus Crusade. And then he felt the Lord saying, hey, step away from that, and I want you to take a nursing job. He goes, oh, that's Tim Brown. I go, yeah. He said, yeah, it's part of, he goes to my church. And it was like the Lord said, I know exactly where you are. I have surrounded you with people that you don't even know. He says, I am with you. And from that moment on, it's like the teaching, the leadership training, it didn't matter. It didn't matter how good it went. It didn't matter how bad it went. It just didn't matter, because I was friends with Jesus. And it made such a difference in how I thought about ministry. And that was one of my, I mean, I've had other moments like that, but that's my favorite one. And that when we're walking with Jesus, it is so tangible and so real. And so that's my desire for you too, that you'd have that kind of a day-by-day open the door for Jesus because he's right beside you kind of relationship with him.